Welcome to AnimeCons TV. I'm Patrick Delahanty, and I'm here at SAC Anime Winter 2016. This past weekend, I went to LumaCon, a small comic convention in Petaluma, California.
Hey everybody, Elizabeth here with our con report from Anime Boston 2016. Anime Boston was held once again in the Heinz Convention Center in the Back Bay of Boston.
I'm Father Robert Ballester, the Digital Jesuit.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And we are in San Jose, California for the Silicon Valley Comic-Con 2016.
Now, it's Movie Phone Guy, and I'm here, it's Friday, at the Bangor Toy and Comic-Con here in Bangor, Maine.
Hi, welcome to AnimeCon TV. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Shannon.
And we're here at KrakenCon Spring 2016.
I'm Doug Wilder, and joining you for yet another con review is Charles Dunbar. This time we're reporting from the first year convention, Anime Fan Fest in New Jersey.
Hey everybody, I'm Patrick Delahanty here for Anime Cons TV, and I am at Wizard World Sacramento in Sacramento, California.
We're back here at PortCon, Maine, and we've reported on PortCon, Maine. This is our eighth year reporting on PortCon.
And I am here live at KinyubiCon 2016. It's a small anime convention in Newark, California.
Hey, I'm Doug Wilder. Once again, we're reviewing Otakon, and once again, I've dragged familiar cohort.
He dragged me to this. I haven't slept in 3 days.
And we just got back from SAC Anime, the summer edition. And I'm here to talk about two conventions that I visited in one day. It is Wine Country Comic-Con and Santa Rosa Toy and Comic-Con.
So earlier this spring, several friends and I, including Sketch, were in Tokyo, Japan during the Sailor Moon Exposition, which was a huge display of artwork and videos and costumes and everything from the Sailor Moon universe.
Welcome to another AnimeCon 2016. Statement here.
This is Stephen and Lindsay. We're on our way back from BlizzCon 2016. We're in the middle of California somewhere, headed north from Anaheim. We just passed all the cows. It's stinky. We're back at KrakenCon. They do it twice a year. This is the fall edition.
I do not recall this in Attack on Titan.
I've been to, this is my sixth KrakenCon, so there's really only so much I can say about it without repeating myself. Like, why are you putting this theater in the dealer's room where you can't hear it? I say that every time. The video room, well, because it's a video area, it's not in a whole room. Because it's in the middle of the room and there's no sound barriers or any barriers, the sound bleed comes in and it's hard to watch a show with all the noise from the whole room coming in. There's a video area and it's over on the other side of the dealer's room here, and so there's a bit of noise with the main event hall here, and so they have it again, and so I'm going to make a suggestion that really needs to move to a room, because although the volume is turned up, it'd be nicer to be able to watch the shows in an actual screening room and not just a corner of the dealer's room. There was the theater in the back showing anime. They had their regular dealer's room and artist alley with the screenings in there, except it was in the hangar deck of the aircraft carrier. And I complained so much, they made me a sponsor of the theater.
That's hilarious.
That's cool.
But you really can't hear what's going on the...
Yeah. Also, I did ask him about it. It said they needs a new bulb. That's why it's a little bit washed out.
Okay.
This is some good work. Who are you today? Did you want to leave our friends a voicemail? Not a fan.
Cosplay is amazing.
I love Squirrel Girl.
And
what you're doing here is very brave. Crossplay, pulling it off well is hard. Would you like to leave our friends a voicemail? Bye.
There's an overwhelming number of Q&A panels. Also, they do a lot of announcements here, and it's kind of annoying. And half of them are for lost people. I don't know why everybody's getting lost in this dealer's room, because it's not that hard to navigate. It's just rows. And anyway, luckily they have guidebooks. You can just load it up on your iPhone and use guidebook. So you don't even need to carry this, really. See, what did I tell you about these announcements? So many announcements. And I'm hoping you can hear me over this announcement, because I'm going to keep talking. The exhibit hall map is messed up. Don't use this. This is actually worthless right now, because if you're looking for any of these artists listed in Artist Alley, and it's their tiny print, it will say, okay, they're in AAW1, say. But then you look at the map. Another announcement? Seriously? I'm not even editing this out, so whatever. So it was AAW1, but then you look at the map, and they're all labeled AA with a three-digit number. So you can't find anybody. Silicon Valley Comic Con with the largest private Star Wars collection in the world, Rancho Obi-Wan, and I'm here with Steve Sansweet.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Now, you guys are our neighbors in Petaluma.
We are. I don't know why we haven't gotten together yet, but we'll have to make sure that happens. I mean, you're not in former chicken barns. We are. 9,000 square feet of chicken barn housing about 300,000 plus items from Star Wars going back all the way to the beginning.
That's incredible. And my mother thought I had a lot of Star Wars in the basement, but wow. Now, how did you get started with this?
I started with one object. I grew up loving science fiction, and then I was working at the Wall Street Journal in Los Angeles, and a reporter got a really beautiful color booklet from Fox in early 77 promoting the movie, mainly for the movie studios, you know, try to get people to book the movie, and he threw it away. And when he left for the day, I just sort of toddled over to his trash can, and that was my first rescue of a Star Wars item and dumpster diving, but I've done it many times since.
And now you've got just about everything ever made, correct?
Well, a large percentage, although with Disney constantly putting out new things, it becomes very difficult. So I'm concentrating on the things that I really love. And one of those, starting about 10 years ago, was fan-made items and art, because that shows the true passion of the fans, and that's one of the things we do as a nonprofit. We try to inspire other people, give out tours to other charities to auction off, and bring in school kids and talk about whatever the teacher wants to talk about. You can go on to RanchoObiWan.org, and we have all of our information. We have blogs, we have photos, and it tells you how to become a member. And our tour calendar, it runs out about 4 months in the future, and you can book a tour in advance. You get all the details are there.
Hi, my name is Sarah Natacheny, and I play Ash Ketchum on Pokemon.
Hi, my name is Lisa Ortiz. I play Karina in Fletchling, and I'm the current voice director for XY.
Hello, I'm Haven Pascal, and I voice Serena on Pokemon, as well as Pumpkaboo, Swirlix, Slurpuff, and Gorgeist.
Hello, I am Allison Lee Rosenfeld, and I voice Bonnie and Bunnelby, and I am a former Nurse Joy on Pokemon.
Hi, I'm Mike Alicio Jr. I voice Clement and Inge, and I'm also a former Nurse Joy.
Okay, what was your first convention? Like, and anime, sci-fi, whatever your experience like you once was in, either as a guest or as an attendee?
My first was when we did Florida SuperCon, because it was like a month and a half ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was awesome. It a whole new world for me. A whole new world. But it was really fun. Mm-hmm. We had a great time.
Yeah, my first was Animate Miami in 2014, and I had a blast. Yeah, it was a great introduction to this world and getting to meet fans, and I had a blast.
Mine was also the Florida SuperCon about a month and a half ago in Miami, and it was super fun, and it was my first con, and this is my second.
I'm the con veteran. I've been around for a while. I don't know what to say to that after that. But no, I went to my first convention as sort of like just a fan thing. That we used to have Icon out on Long Island, and I would go. I got into anime and doing all this stuff through like my brothers and siblings who had done that. But I think the first convention that I went to was Animazement in 98. It's possible. Yeah, and then I took a little break, and then I've been back.
My first convention was San Diego Comic-Con in 2006. I was 19 years old. I had just started doing Pokemon. I didn't know what I was doing. I sat in front of a huge audience of people and said God knows what. I don't know.
Sailor Moon premiered in Japan in 1992 and was localized in the US and Canada in 1995. The exhibition celebrated the nostalgia adults have for this series from their childhood and didn't really make an effort to integrate items from the new Sailor Moon Crystal series or the recent manga re-release. The entrance to the exhibit in the Skyview Observatory was decorated to look like the Silver Millennium Palace, which was a nice touch in daylight but appeared absolutely magical after dark. Replica props from the series were displayed in various cases, and artwork from manga artist Naoko Takayuchi adorned the walls. You passed the main entrance. Photography and video were not allowed except in certain areas because so much original copyrighted artwork was displayed. However, the exhibition had an entire room of original canvases painted by Takayuchi, which were absolutely breathtaking. Several rooms were filled with over 20 years worth of Sailor Moon merchandise, which brought back a lot of childhood memories. We were allowed to take photos of some of it, but the more complex toys were off limits. They even had one room showing video of the Sailor Moon musicals with costumes from the show in glass cases. One of the most beautiful displays was a life-size statue of Usagi and Mamoru in stunning versions of their Neo Queen Serenity in King Endymion costumes made just for the exhibition. Although most visitors took their photos and moved on, we took a ton of detail images to reference for future cosplays. We wish they had made more of the royal court for this, as the level of craftsmanship which went into these was absolutely incredible. The effect of Serenity and Endymion staring out over Tokyo caused their reflection to appear in the glass as if they were floating over the city.
So there was a lot of cool decorations all around the convention center. Everyone got a poster that says America. So you gave these posters. This one says Boston runs on anime, a play off Dunkin' Donuts. And for those of you who know, I am obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts, so this is going right up in my sewing room. Even though I love football, this one is getting the back, the wall side. It says home of Senpai Bowl 16. The logo's on it.
And today's episode, we're going to talk about prop making. Specifically using the technique of foam and Warbla. Foam, rigid foam you can buy at our hardware store, and the mythical Warbla of the new crafting material we have in this day and age. So I found an image of the Punisher staff and blew it up and printed it out to have a template. Putting it on rigid foam insulation, and here is it completely cut out. You can see I left in some marks that we'll go into later. So here's a time lapse of me carving. This is the Punisher staff. First thing I'm doing is cutting straight through where I marked before with those little X's. As I'm carving, I'm just using a utility knife, a very thin one, and shaving away until I get the shape I want. So as you see, we finished the sculpting. Both sides. All the wonderful detail that will be in here. And so now we want to wrap it with Warbla. What you need for tools is obviously your heating up, a heat gun. You should have one of these anyway if you're a cosplayer. Comes in handy for multiple reasons. Another thing is, you know, good pair of scissors. Come in handy. You can also use a utility knife. But one of the things I find that's really nice is a clay sculpting tool. Here's another time lapse. As you see, I'm taking a big sheet. Admittedly, I'm using too big of a sheet, but you do have to remember that you need overlap length when you get to the other side. I'm heating it up. The Warbla is relaxing into the shapes, and then I'm following with the sculpting tool to make sure that the detail that I carved is translating through. Trimming up the edges and getting ready to flip for the other side. As we see, we're almost getting done with it. Trimming up. And we will have a wrapped Punisher. And here we are. This is the final product of the Punisher staff from Final Fantasy X. Basically, most of this is just regular spray paint. This is more just hitting it with different colors to make this gradient. And then up here, did a base color of white, and then went in with acrylic paints, mixing different shades of the purple and the beige, detailed with the orange, and then resin casting for the gems. And there you go. Now it can go with the collection.
This week I'll be doing a kind of first impressions video where I'll be working with some pieces of Fibra. This is a new thermoplastic that came out in the U.S. a few months ago. The first thing, definitely, is it is very smooth. Like, it, the thing, like, with Warbla, which has been, like, the go-to thermoplastic over the past few years, even Black Warbla, which is this, it has still has a very kind of coarse texture, and you need, and to make it look really good once it's all shaped, you still need to finish it with, like, a wood glue or something like that to make it smooth, unless you like want this coarseness, which you might depending on what you're making, but if you want it to be smooth, you need to finish it, especially the traditional Warbla, that's the tan color, you really need to add a lot of wood glue to finish it. This, not so much, it's very smooth, which is really cool. And I'm gonna heat it up, and from what I've been told, the Fibra does not take a lot of heat to heat up. So let's see what happens. Okay, that was just a quick pass with the heat gun. It's already pretty nice and pliable. It's actually really pliable, which is nice. And it's not hot, like, at all. Warbla gets pretty hot when you touch it. So yeah, that shapes really nicely with just a little bit of heat to it, which is really cool.
still not very hot, even though I did more of it. It feels really pliable now. What I'm noticing is I'm kind of making fingerprints with it if I touch it too much. So it sticks to itself really nicely. It's quite flexible, too. That way, if your armor has, or whatever you're making, has an edge to it. So there you go. That's, yeah, it's on there really good. So that's really cool to see, too. It's hard to pick up. Right, I'm just going to mush it together. Oh, wow. It feels like silly putty, like legit feels like silly putty, and that's kind of cool. The other thing when you're heating it up is it doesn't have a very strong smell, which is really good, because sometimes thermoplastics can smell, and sometimes they can be bad for you. So that got kind of hot. Okay, so I feel like I can pull it. Yeah, it is stretching. Like Stretch Armstrong. Okay, not really. But stretching up very thin. So if for any reason you wanted to thin it out, you totally could. I feel like it might become brittle if you do that. I don't know how much I could stretch this before it breaks, but I feel like... I don't know, let's find out. Yeah, that's pretty tough. There it goes. So in the end, it ends up kind of feeling almost like thick parchment paper there. Yeah, so those are my thoughts on this new product, Thibra. I really like it, so check it out if you're into working with thermoplastics. Or even if you haven't worked with a thermoplastic before, this would be a cool one to start out for your first time trying a product like this out.
Hello and welcome to the 200th episode of AnimeCons TV. For this episode... we're going to answer a question we got a while back from someone that asked, how do we make an episode of AnimeCons TV? So I'm going to just run through the process.
So I'm here set to record for next week's episode. Svet's going to do a bit on Artist Alley. And we've got the camera here. And so we're going to record and get all the footage. And I'll edit that later.
And so I'll import the footage and then... I bring it all into Final Cut Pro. And so I've sped up this footage so that you can see the entire editing process for next week's episode.
This is my 17th Otakon here at the Baltimore Convention Center. I've been coming since I was about 8 years old with my father, and I didn't actually even need a badge until I was about 11, because when you were under 8, when you were under 10 or under, you didn't need to buy a badge. So I would run around these halls. Actually, it was much, much, much less crowded back then, about 30 of the attendants, with my father. And I've been coming every year since. I've only missed 1 year out of those 17 years.
So I've been coming to Otakon for over 5 years, and I really enjoyed it being in Baltimore.
It's always been such an experience at Otakon. They have so many different types of varieties of dealers. They have so many different types of guests they always bring here. And every time, it's always a different experience for me. When I was really little, I actually got sick after a costume contest and I couldn't compete anymore. And they felt so bad that they actually sent me a little like parting gift, because they loved what I had done, because I did it all myself and I was only 10 years old.
This final year has been amazing, and there have been some great cosplayers and some great events going on. Also, some of the best panels I've seen in a long time.
I think what I'll miss about Baltimore is that it has really become a home for not just the con, but for the con attendees. That we all have our places that we know where to go, we know that we like, so we'll miss that home feeling. That it feels like a homecoming. Going to DC won't feel like that for a few years yet, I think. it's kind of bittersweet to me in my head, because I'm excited because it's going to a bigger convention center and it's more modern and all these things, but it's kind of weird. It feels like it's Otakon's been this magical space and time at this particular location for so long for me and so many of my friends, and I've made so many friends here, and it's felt like, okay, I'm always going to come back to this city, this convention center, see all these people, go to all these places, nothing's going to change, and seeing it actually change is kind of weird.
I've had a lot of different type of memories here at Otakon, some silly, some sad, some awesome, and it's going to be kind of sad to see this place go.
I, for one, am mostly glad that it's moving to D.C. I think that Baltimore is a nice place to visit, but I visited. I'm ready to go back home. And D.C. is a much nicer city.
I'm a little apprehensive about it going to be at Washington, D.C., but I think it's going to be a good move, and I think that there's going to be a lot of new faces and a lot of old faces going to it.
It's exciting, but almost sad in a way, because that this one particular magical place in time is actually leaving, but hopefully it's replacing it with something better and more magical.
This is the last time I'm going to see people in these halls, and that is regrettable. I've had a lot of good times here, so I appreciate what Baltimore has done for me, but it's time to move on.